Welcome to the Miracle Channel podcast. Every week, you'll hear powerful messages from world-renowned pastors that air on Miracle Channel, Canada's 24/7 Christian TV station. And if you want to watch more of their messages anytime you want, check out our online streaming service, Corco Plus. Follow the link in our show notes to create a free account in three simple steps. Today on the podcast, you'll hear a message from Max Licato. Max is a speaker and best-selling author. He also serves as pastor to Oak Hills Church in San Antonio, Texas. His passion for people and ministry is made clear through his written work and through his relatable messages for people from all walks of life. Let's dive into the message.
That's all I wanted. I had everything else. I had the bag, I had the itinerary, I had a bed waiting for me at home if I could just get a boarding pass. But here was the problem. Storms delayed the flights, canceled others, and left dozens of us trying to get on a plane that was already sold out. We were like cows in the corral of the airport, mooing around, grazing, wondering what we could do. And I went up to the ticket counter and I begged, I pleaded. And she said, oh, the best that we can do is put your name on the standby list. You ever been on the standby list? It's a terrible place to be. It's kind of like baseball tryouts. You get to show up, but you don't know if you're on the team. All you do is kind of stand around, loiter around, hoping against hope that somebody's going to call your name so that you can get on, which was in my case, the final flight home. If nobody called my name, that means I get stuck in the airport or in a hotel. All I wanted was a boarding pass. I coveted a boarding pass. I considered stealing a boarding pass. I would have bribed somebody for a boarding pass. Oh, the people who had a boarding pass, they were entirely different than those of us who did not, right? I mean, they could sit down. They could relax, they could cross their legs, they could watch the television on the monitor, they could read a magazine, they could take a nap, they could do, why? Well, because they knew they were going to get home. They had a secure ticket on the flight home. But the rest of us, we could not rest. We could not relax. How can you rest if you're not an assured passenger on the final flight home? So we did not. And many people do not. Many Christians do not. They think they're saved. They hope they're saved. They feel like they're saved. But they're not sure, really, if they're saved or not. How saved are the saved? Can we be sure? Can we be sure that when God writes our name in the book of life, He does so in ink and not pencil? Or does He just put us on a standby list? And are we left to wait until the final moments, right before the flight departs, to see if we really have a seat on the flight home? That's not just an academic question, is it? That's a real question. Why, just a few days ago, one of the members of the church where I serve asked to spend 15 minutes with me. He said, Pastor, I don't need more than 15 minutes. He came in, he sat down. I was unaware that he had recently been diagnosed with cancer. He said, I've had a great life. I've loved my family. I love my wife. I've had a great job. It's my time. I'm all right with that. But I just want to make sure, Pastor, do you think I'm saved? And this is a godly man, a good man. And yet the arrival of the thought of death brought with it doubts about salvation. So under the topic of grace, I think we're wise to ask the question, how great is grace? How secure are the saved? How saved are the saved? Our doubts come from honest places. Other people have walked away from us. Maybe God will too. Some people know what it's like to have a spouse or a husband make a promise and then break it. And so they begin to think, well, maybe God will do the same. Others never knew their earthly father, their biological mother. And so they think, well, maybe if they didn't keep their promise, will God keep His? And then there is the issue of our own behavior. If I'm saved, why do I do the things I do? Why do I still have trouble controlling my temper? Why do I still snap at anything that moves? Why can I be so cranky? Why do I still struggle with temptations? Conventional wisdom does this. Conventional wisdom draws a line between being saved and being lost. It's not a very straight line, but it is a line. And conventional wisdom says, well, if you do good, you're saved. If you do bad, you're lost. If you do good, you're saved. If you're bad, you're lost. And this is life, right? More ups and downs than a roller coaster. Why, on a given day, you're saved and lost a dozen times. And from that perspective, salvation becomes a matter of timing. You just hope that you die on an upswing, right? You just hope that you get caught in a good moment and get called home. Is that any way to live? Salvation on standby? No assurance of the final flight home? What kind of person does that create? Does that not create an unstable person? A fear-filled person? A joyless person? Is that the kind of relationship that God, who is abundant in grace and who is full of mercy, is that the kind of relationship do you think He would create with His children? You would not, with your children. Many of you are mothers and fathers. And when you held that baby in your arms, you didn't make a conditional relationship with that newborn. I'll love you until you dirty a diaper. Or I'll love you until you wake me up at 2 a.m. Even you said to that child, maybe not with so many words, but in your heart you said, you know, we're in this for the long haul. Didn't you? Listen, you may have many doubts today. You may have doubts about the economy. You may have doubts about the weather. You may have doubts about if this is going to be a good lesson or not. But let me tell you, if you are in Christ, if you are in Christ, will you once and for all allow God to do away with any doubt about the security of your salvation? Let Him come in and burn it off like a morning sun burns away the valley mist. Just burn it out and discover what it means to rest in the full assurance of the covenant and the grace that God has with you. So many verses in the Bible remind us to trust God's grace. One of my favorites is in John chapter 10 and verse 28. Just listen to it as I read it. Jesus said, "And I give them eternal life, that they shall never lose it or perish throughout the ages to all eternity. They shall never by any means be destroyed, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hands." What a promise. No one is able to snatch you out of the Father's hands. Jesus promised a new life that cannot be forfeited or terminated. Listen to John 5, 24. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over. He has crossed over from death into life. This is an accomplished fact. If you are in Christ, he has already transferred you. He has crossed you over. He has taken you and relocated you spiritually into the kingdom of heaven. These bridges to the past are burned. The transfer is complete. Yes, the ebbs and flows, they are going to continue, but they're never going to disqualify. They're going to continue, but they're never going to disqualify. And by the way, as you grow in Christ, they will even begin to diminish. But the struggles will always be there. But since you were not saved by your goodness, you can't be lost by your badness. That's good news, isn't it? Why would God save us one way and then keep us saved another way? But the assurance that he gives is that what saved us initially keeps us eternally. What saved us initially keeps us eternally. What did save us initially? The sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The power and the presence of Jesus Christ. So what keeps us eternally? The sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The power and the presence of Jesus Christ. You see, God has laid claim to you. He owns you now, and he's not going to give you up. So many verses refer to this. One of my favorite is 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. By his Spirit, he has stamped us with an eternal pledge, a sure beginning of what he is destined to complete. He has stamped us. You ever stamped anything? When you stamp something, when you etch your name in something, when you engrave your name in something, you're saying, this is mine. Maybe you have something that's so valuable to you that you had your name engraved in it, maybe like a wedding band or a piece of equipment, and you had your name burned into it. Well, God says, I have burned, I have etched, I have engraven my name into that person so that when the interloper, the devil, comes and he wants to take them, he cannot because I own them. Where I grew up in West Texas, there was a lot of branding that took place with the cattle. And when you brand a cow, you know, as painful as it may be, the purpose is so that the owner will always have his ownership on display. I do not know where God has branded you, but I know that when Satan sees you, he may tempt you, he may test you, but he cannot have you. Why? Because you've been branded. You've been branded. You carry on you the very seal, the mark of Jesus Christ. There's something about what Jesus did for you that sends this message into the heavenlies. The message says, this child is mine. I bought this child, hands off. On and off salvation never appears in the Bible. It doesn't. There's not one single case of any person in the Bible who was saved one day and then lost the next, and then saved again and then lost the next. It's just not there. Salvation is not a repeated phenomenon. But salvation is a gift that happens once, and once it happened, is secure forever. And this grace creates such a confidence in the heart of the believer. Again, there's so many things we don't know. We don't know what the future holds in terms of our health. And we don't know what the future holds in terms of some relationships. But when it comes to our eternal security, God wants a stable, secure, peaceful people. People like the Apostle Paul who said, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. John said it this way, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you may hope or speculate or dream, but that you may know that you have eternal life. I want to encourage you to trust God's hold on you more than your hold on God. Trust God's hold on you more than your hold on God. I remember one time taking our oldest daughter, Jenna, on a walk. She was maybe 3 or 4 years of age. We were visiting someone in their neighborhood, and she and I went out after lunch and went on a long walk. And I don't know what made me ask her the question, but at some point I stopped and I looked down at Jenna and I said, "Jenna, do you know how to get home?" And she said, "No." I said, "Are you afraid?" She said, "No." I said, "Why aren't you afraid?" She said, "Because you know how to get home." You know, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know that God holds my hand and He holds yours. And consequently, you don't have to be afraid because He's taken care of the big issue. Now, you may find this promise a little bit hard to believe. Many people do. And many people say, "Hey, you're taking grace a little bit too far there." I think the disciples found it hard to believe. You want to see one of the greatest pictures of the security of salvation? You look in Matthew chapter 26. Look there with me in verse 31 and 32. Jesus said, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." All of you will be made to stumble. Every single one of them. Now think about this. These disciples had been with Jesus for up to 3 years. That's a long time to be in someone's hip pocket, isn't it? Everywhere He had gone, they had gone. They'd watched Him walk on water. They'd watched Him eat dinner. They'd watched Him pick His teeth. They'd slept near the campfire with Him. They knew everything about Him. They'd heard Him teach. They were there when they took the burial clothing off the was-dead Lazarus. They were there to drink that Chablis that used to be water at the wedding. They watched one miracle after another, many that we read about, many more were never told about. They had seen all of the miracles, and yet in spite of it, Jesus says, "All of you are going to stumble." Every single one of you. Peter, you're going to stumble. John, you're going to stumble. Andrew, Nathaniel, you're going to stumble. You know what this says to me? Max, you're going to stumble. John, you're going to stumble. Maria, you're going to stumble. Tomatio, you're going to stumble. Wherever you are, we're going to stumble. We're going to stumble because Satan is still trying to test and tempt and take the joy out of His followers. We're going to stumble. So what does Jesus do? Well, Jesus, at the outset of the stumble, before it even happens, He makes a promise to His disciples. Did you see it? He said, "After I have been raised, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Astounding. Jesus did not say, "All of you will stumble, and then I'm going to start over with a whole new group of disciples." He didn't say that, did he? He said, "All of you are going to stumble. I'm going to come back from the dead. I'll be waiting on you. I'll be waiting on you. I know you're going to stumble. And even knowing so, I'm with you." Now, Peter had a hard time with this. You remember? Oh, wasn't one of Peter's finest moments. Peter, if you remember, said, "Well, even if they do, I won't. You know, let all them fall, I won't." Peter was trusting in Peter's strength. And as we know, Peter's strength petered out. I thought that was clever, if you did. Jesus said to him, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Simon, Satan's coming after you. He's asked for you. Isn't this interesting? Satan can do nothing apart from the permission of Jesus Christ. He's still God's servant. Unwilling servant, but the devil is still God's servant. And Jesus allowed Satan to test or tempt Peter, to strengthen him, to strengthen him. But even the amount of that temptation was controlled by Christ, because he says, I have prayed for you. You see, when Jesus prays for somebody, that prayer is going to be answered, right? I mean, his prayers are answered. And because Jesus had prayed for Peter, Peter could know for certain that Peter might be tested, but he would not fall. He might stumble, but he would never fall completely. Can I give you some good news? Jesus has prayed for you. He is praying for you. On the night before his crucifixion, Jesus prayed, Holy Father, keep them and care for them. All those you have given to me, so they will be united just as we are. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me because of their testimony. Astounding, this thought, that Jesus Christ has prayed for you and he is holding on to you. Now, will you be tested? Absolutely. Just like Peter was. We'll be sifted like wheat. But that test will not destroy us. Just the opposite. What Satan intends for evil, God will use for good. He will strengthen us. And he will take the Peters who stumble and turn them into Peters who proclaim grace 50 days later on the day of Pentecost. And that which was intended to destroy the apostle actually builds the apostle, right? This is how God works. This is how God works. He will not let you go. He will permit testing. But that testing will make you better, not worse. And he has taken a hold of you. Grace does this.
Are you enjoying today's podcast? This podcast and all of Miracle Channel's outreaches are made possible by our donors. Every day we receive incredible stories of lives being transformed by the truth of God's Word. And none of it would be possible without the generosity of people like you. If you'd like to partner with us, please consider making a donation today. Your support will help us share the hope of Jesus across Canada and around the world. To donate online, simply visit miraclechannel.ca/podcast or click the link in the show notes. Thank you for your support, and together let's spread the message of hope far and wide.
Now somebody might say, well, Max, if God is not going to let me go, and I am absolutely secure and assured of my salvation, are you sure that's not going to tempt me to want to do something even bad because I know God has gotten hold of me? I mean, how do you know you're not taking this grace thing a little too far? You know what? It very well may tempt you to do that. It very well may. But what the Bible teaches us is that when grace goes deep, disciples become strong. The proper response of grace creates a desire for holiness, not worldliness. It's the most curious thing. There's a story in the Old Testament, for example, of Joseph, who was thrown into the pit by his brothers and sold into slavery. And he spent 10 years in the household of Potiphar. But the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. His favor was upon him. And Joseph became a prominent man in the household of Potiphar, so prominent that Potiphar's wife noticed him, right? And she put the wink wink on him. She came after him. And when she did, he stayed strong. Why did he stay strong? Because he said to her, can I do this and sin against God? You see, he had received the favor of God, the grace of God, the kindness of God, and that kindness had so worked in his heart that he began not looking for opportunities to sin, but looking for opportunities to be faithful. You see, when grace grows deep, it creates a desire to do good, not a desire to do bad. Now, when it's immature, when it's shallow, we may have that temptation. But as this grace takes over, it creates not just an assurance that you cannot be lost, but it also creates a holy hatred of evil and a deep desire for good. This is the kind of grace that God wants us to have. Titus 2, verse 11 and 12 says, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And it teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Isn't that interesting? This grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So let grace be your teacher. Don't let doubt be your teacher. Don't let fear be your teacher. But live in this space of grace that teaches you to trust your Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul, of all the wonderful things he did, he sure knew how to ask a question. And of all of his questions, the one I think that touches my heart the most is in Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. He says, "Can anything separate us from the love Christ has for us?" That's what we want to know, isn't it? Can anything separate us from the love Christ has for us? Can I wander too far? Can I be too bad? Can I doubt too much? Not when I'm feeling good, not when I'm strong, not when I'm all dressed up, not when I'm looking nice on Easter Sunday morning or sitting around, you know, singing songs. Even I like me then. But what about those days when I do snap at anything that moves, when my thoughts are gutter level, when I say the words that no Christian should say? Does God love me then? The great and resounding promise of God and the promise and the response of Paul is that nothing can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. You know what, my friend? You may run out of a lot of things in life. You may run out of energy. You may run out of money. I hope you don't. You may run out of solution. Some of us are starting to run out of hair. We run out of things. But listen, we never run out of God's love. We never exhaust His love. You will more quickly empty the Pacific Ocean with a thimble than your misbehavior will exhaust the love of God. That's how much He loves you. By the way, I finally got a boarding pass. And I made it home that night. And that's nice. You have a boarding pass. You do. Trust it.
Thanks for joining us today. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to hear more messages from encouraging speakers that air on Miracle Channel and Corco. Rate this podcast and write a review if you haven't already. And share this message so others can be encouraged by this teaching too. We hope you were inspired by today's message. God bless.